Welcome to the Currency.News. This podcast is powered by EY. It pays to be curious.
There's an old one-liner. A CFO doesn't see numbers. They see stories where every comma is a potential cost-saving initiative. Yet in reality, this is far from the truth. The role of a CFO goes well beyond numbers, well beyond spreadsheets, well beyond accounts. They are fundamental to the running of a business. And they have strong views on how that business and other businesses should be run, and on the wider economic background, as evidenced by the latest EY Ireland CFO survey. Despite a volatile background of geopolitical tensions, unpredictable tariffs, and rising energy costs, the survey revealed that Ireland CFOs are tackling the current year with confidence, in fact, a noticeable confidence. To discuss the survey, I'm delighted to be joined by Vicky Wall, EY Ireland Financial Accounting Advisory Services Leader, and by Katie Burns, EY Ireland Consulting Partner. You're both very welcome. Katie, I'll just start with yourself. Your CFO survey shows that 94% of Irish CFOs expect growth in 2026. Given everything that's going on out there, wars, tariffs, troubles, it's very optimistic.
It is. And hi, Ian. Thanks for having myself and Vicky here. It is optimistic. But look, the survey was done a couple of months ago and the world is changing daily at the moment. But I think when we step back, yeah, it's a really difficult economy within which we're working in. Everything is really volatile. Cost of living is going up. But that gives opportunity for different organisations. And many of the organisations that we work with in Ireland or that are based out of Ireland, they are not just representative of the Irish economy. Like, there's multinationals, there's organisations from every different walk of life here in Ireland. So, it is optimistic.
I suppose it's easy to be downbeat and to look at all the negative news and the noise, but my companies are still trundling along, making money and expanding.
Well, that's it. I mean, there is huge opportunity in Ireland. I think there's... Every different sector operates in Ireland. There's technology, there's hospitality, there's professional services, there's health, there's public services. There's huge government reform happening in Ireland. Like, all of that needs financial stewardship, and there's huge investment into Ireland. I think Ireland is relatively stable given what's going on in the global economy.
I think just maybe to come in there, and hi, and thanks for having us as well.
It's nice to have you here, Vicky.
You know, I think, again, the survey was done at a point in time, obviously, before the current or latest crisis. But that being said, CFOs have been, you know, in some way lurching from one crisis as we as an economy have for the last several years. And what I think both Katie and I are seeing in our day-to-day conversations is a lot of that's been built into how they're thinking about the business, and not so much setting a strategy and changing it day to day, but actually factoring volatility, uncertainty.
Because that is a point, Vicky, that if you stretch it back over the last couple of years, last decade, kind of you go from Brexit to a cost of living crisis, to war, to a pandemic, to another cost of living crisis, to more war, to tariffs and Trump and everything else. That we live in this world of polycrisis. And yet, despite that, CFOs are expecting 9% growth overall this year.
That's it, 9%. And that's a stellar growth level. And, you know, perhaps in the current crisis, that may be altered somewhat, you know, depending how long the situation continues. But it was 9% as an average. And we did see a slightly lower figure for our largest companies, sort of those over 250, which are most likely some of the multinationals. But even they were saying that they expect an average of 6% growth, which if you look at the kind of whole economy, that's really strong positive news.
Yeah, well, if you looked at any economy and said, God, we can get 6% growth this year. And that's what these CFOs. And I think it's worth pointing out that CFOs have a great granular level of where we're going, and they're by nature cautious.
They do love the detail, I think, CFOs. I mean, rather than maybe get stuck on the number, I think there is significant growth opportunity out there. I think any of the organisations that Vicky and I would work with, we are seeing lots of CFOs not just focused on kind of cost reduction. There's lots of focus around value creation and how the enterprise, how the finance function and the CFO can drive the enterprise forward. So there is significant growth opportunities. I think anything from supply chain transformation, through to revenue growth, kind of optimization. And with every crisis, it genuinely does give opportunity. Yeah. So
it gives opportunity, and I think it also does focus organizations to think of it differently.
Yeah.
You know, when things are stable and you're churning along and you're business model is operating in the same way as it always has, you're not necessarily always looking at how do I do things smarter, better, faster? How do I use some of the latest advances in automation and AI to help choose the best supply chain route, to help, you know, choose the best source of inputs? So, you know, I think whilst, yes, it is a challenging time, no doubt, and a challenging year ahead, I think certainly we would say that there is still that confidence there and opportunity that the company's going after.
Katie, what's driving that confidence? And I know Vicky's speaking about opportunity, but there has to be a fundamental underpinning.
Yeah. Well, look, I think when we did the survey last year, obviously the context was slightly different. CFOs, and I always say CFO, I mean the broader finance function, like the reality is we are in a growing economy. We are full employment. There has been significant changes in the last year. It may be, you know, people say technology firms moving jobs out of Ireland. But the reality is we are an incredible place to do Ireland. We've significant foreign direct investment into Ireland. We genuinely are a stable economy. And there's significant opportunities and jobs, and all of that gives rise for employment. Yeah. And when there's employment, obviously companies are doing well and are continuing to expand. So, you know,
I think the only point I was trying to come in there on, I think, again, you know, the FDI economy is obviously, you know, has been hugely valuable and continues to be for us. But not to disregard the local economy, the private businesses here and the entrepreneurial business here. And to your point, the kind of the skill level and the innovativeness that we as a country have and should be quite proud of.
Yeah.
You know, we export that really well as well. And the amount of companies that we see now listing in the US. So, you know, I think every challenge is almost an opportunity for the economy and for people more broadly to kind of respond to that.
Yeah, just take a step back for a second, right? So, as we said, we live seemingly in a world of polycrisis. Mm. There's always something.
Something.
18 months ago it was one thing. Now it's a different thing. Are CFOs baking this into their risk appetite for how they're preparing forecasts for how they're engaging with the businesses?
Yeah, 100%. You know, forecasts, I think, and as a typical accountant, forecasts are certainly something, you know, would have always been done nearly once a year, very ad hoc, very, you know, kind of look back and then do your review against it. Whereas now it's a kind of a constant rolling forecast, with scenario planning being the critical thing. And again, and you probably hear Katie and I wax lyrical about, you know, data and the importance of data.
And we'll come to that.
But yeah. We'll save that for one of the next questions. But in reality, the you know, the power of data and the power of using real time data to do scenario analysis, not necessarily to take different actions constantly and to kind of change strategy, but to know what the options are and then to kind of, where necessary, to kind of tweak what, you know, what direction the business is going in.
Yeah. So I think for me, like when I look at different categories of organisations, so small to medium organisations, Irish PLCs, multinationals, there's typically different levels of sophistication and experience. Some of it is gut feel, you know.
I know what I should be doing this month versus next month on a small business.
That's it. You know your customers, you know your suppliers, you know what good looks like, you know your payroll, you know how to get the cash in. So I think the kind of the constant poly crisis, as you call it, that's challenging. Are they able to bake it in? No, I would say. Are we more resilient? Possibly. We've no choice. And I think back to Vicky mentioned a couple of minutes ago that you can't, you know, there's so many different crises at the moment. You can't constantly change your plans. However, I think for me, it's really important that organizations, they trust their teams. They're very clear that they have a clear strategy where they're trying to go. And then finance helps to deliver on that and helps to deliver on the numbers and drive the business forward. So, like, you know, I know we said we talk about data in a minute, but to do a forecast accurately, you have to be clear what level of granularity you need. What are the kind of the key drivers of that forecast? And some of it you can control the controllables, and then some of it you know, you nearly just have to keep close to your customers, your suppliers, and be agile.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've certainly seen more of in the last year, definitely, is within the forecasting and within those kind of, you know, monthly reviews, it's involving much broader stakeholders of the organisation. So, you know, historically, the finance team are maybe stuck in a back room somewhere doing the forecast. But now having the supply, kind of the head of supply chain in, having procurement in, having, you know, the customer, the marketing team in, having all those really key stakeholders in the room together, because there's so many things that are impacting day to day.
Well, there's two points I just want to bring up. And the first one is, we talked about data, and it's impossible, I think, to talk about data without talking about AI at the moment. And I know the survey is, you know, a couple of months old, but an AI is moving at such a massive pace. But it just shows the survey, the CFO survey says that AI adoption in the finance function has increased from 12% to 47% year on year. I think that's probably in keeping with how everyone is engaging with AI, but it just shows it. What's your advice and what have you seen from that sort of AI adoption in the finance function? How can companies get the best from it, and where do they need to be cautious?
So Vicky and I have been talking about this a lot, because the stat, it's great to see the stat, but you'd like to see it higher still, because, you know, Ian, as you say, the technology is there. I think for myself and Vicky, as we talk about it even internally and with our clients, the tech is there. It's more people are still either dabbling and I would say grappling with how to take it on board in the right way. I was with a technology client recently, and the CFO locally in Ireland was giving me her perspective that over the last 10 years, they've doubled their revenue by 50%, yet their finance team has only grown by 30%. Now, that was obviously pre-AI, but it's because they've been using technology effectively the whole way through their growth story, and now they're able to take full advantage of the AI capability. So maybe just hand over to Vicky.
I think some of that and that particular client, it's the culture even that was within the finance team, and the willingness to adopt automation and then to think about AI. I think the comment that you made, Katie, and we speak about this, is the dappling piece. Certainly within a host of my clients, there's a huge emphasis on trying to use AI, and that's great, but you can end up having a kind of plethora of different use cases without necessarily stepping back to say, well, which of these are really going
What's working for me?
So like we kind of asked there, Ian, kind of what advice would we give? You know, certainly one of the key pieces of advice I would give, and I indeed give to my own teams, is let's think about what are the potential use cases. Where could we get our biggest bang for our buck, be that kind of a cost saving on time, or be that a value creation, which is the other really big area that finance can play into using AI as well.
I think for me to give advice, it's you need to do some pilots. So there's organizations, some kind of say the barrier to entry is knowledge. Some organizations are feeling it's IT security risk, but the barrier to entry should be very, very low. I feel like, back to your point, Vicky, it's around the ability for the individuals to take it on. So in terms of advice, I would say, as an individual, if you're not using AI, whether in your personal life or your day job, you need to quickly get up the curve, because you will become redundant very quickly. It's unlikely that, you know, your job is going to go, but you will become redundant if you don't take it on. And then I think more broadly within your organization, try some proof of concept. So, you know, we've worked with clients where you take an accounts payable process as an example, and rather than trying to eat the elephant or try and, you know, hit the whole process at once, take a small portion that you know isn't working well. Use AI, see how you can get some value from it, and you'll kind of prove it, and people will get confidence.
I think that's such a great point, though, Katie. Like, the other thing is for CFOs and for leaders of finance functions to encourage your team. Yeah. I mean, you'd be so surprised by, and maybe not, because, and I'd say this is somebody maybe, you know, who you identify with in the older generation, that young people have so many ideas around how they, you know, how they would use it, and they're more familiar even with all of the different types of tools, some of which are widely available. But, you know, one of the kind of key examples that I've seen in finance teams that are doing their month end or their financial statements is creating agents to do financial statement reviews, creating agents to do kind of financial statement prep, to do reconciliations. You know, again, going back to kind of when I would have done all that, it's very, very manual effort. And that's exciting for them
but
as well.
But it begs a question, which is a really intriguing one, which is if we can outsource, offload, for want of a better phrase, a lot of the kind of the rote work.
Yeah.
It frees up that finance function to do other things.
That's it.
And it frees up the finance function to be more away from just the nuts and bolts, numbers, spreadsheets, databases, and to have a really more profound impact in the companies.
Yeah,
that's it. Like the role of the finance function has changed over the last number of years and is continuing to change. And now with AI and the technology capability, a really strong finance function should be creating value for the organisation. They're not just managing the numbers. It is helping to drive the organisation forward, and it shouldn't be historic
but
looking.
But that has to go beyond, Katie, and I'll come to you in a second, Vicky, but that has to go beyond just the finance function. It needs all the other elements, whether it's the commercial CEO, to buy into that finance is not just a numbers-based operation.
And genuinely, for the more mature organisations that, you know, are probably experiencing the highest growth volumes, etc., that generally is the understanding and is the perception. It's rare that I would see a kind of a very large multinational where they do see finance as a gatekeeper.
Well, that's why most of the CFOs end up becoming CEOs in
lots of those PLCs,
you know?
Yeah, that's it. Ian, just if I might, just on the advice piece, there is R&D tax credits that organisations need to be aware of. And it can be, if you're a multinational IDA and if you're an Irish Indigenous organisation, Enterprise Ireland. So, you know, it's all about innovation and upskilling your teams. But if you can actually be clear where the processes can be automated and use AI, there are tax credits
available.
And
you can get those because obviously we have very generous tax credits for R&D, but we can push that into AI and AI advancement.
Yeah. And we're upskilling the Irish workforce.
And I think that's the key point, though, back to your question there, Ian, on the kind of the finance team and involvement in other parts of the business. The skill set and the, I suppose, the desire somewhat of the finance team needs to change. So, you know, what was historically just very kind of number crunching, you know, potentially people sitting in front of a computer, it's actually becoming much more collaborative. It's thinking, you know, being decision, like helping decision making, helping think about strategic initiatives, helping thinking about driving that value. And that does necessitate them to be much broader, more broadly spread around the business and engaging with their, you know, kind of stakeholders, which I would expect to be very interesting and exciting for finance. For finance teams and for accountants of the future. But I think that kind of upskilling piece is key.
Well, you mentioned upskilling. You mentioned the R&D tax credit. I think one of the interesting things that came from the survey was that 60% of CFOs are investing in upskilling. Now, there are skills shortages and, you know, that's not just in that sector of the economy, but it does show that people are willing to embrace kind of learning, advancement.
There's no alternative.
No.
I think there is no alternative. I think some organisations, they struggle to find the budget, the capacity to help the organisation upskill. For the ones that can, they will survive and they will be able to use the technology as a competitive advantage. And for the ones that don't, they
They'll
risk falling behind.
Yeah. But I think what's key, and again, like Katie and I, we've chatted about this a good bit, is it has to be role modelled. So a lot of the leaders...
Sorry, what do you mean by that? Not to...
No, you're fine. So again, and you know, back to all of us, the, you know, I think embracing technology can be scarier for people who are perhaps, you know, the CFOs or the finance leads for their teams. And it's very difficult to say, I don't know what that is. I haven't heard of that, I don't know, that agent or that
I do what I do. I go in, I do my numbers.
Exactly, and I'm very used to what I do. And so there has to be a vulnerability and there has to be an encouragement in teams to sort of embrace it together, to be curious. And that's where we're seeing success, where there's almost gamification of who can come up with some of the best ideas. How do we collectively prioritize amongst
them?
And then accept the failure will happen in some of them. And we kind of learn and move on. And I think that's where we see the best teams, we see the best outcomes.
Absolutely. I think in terms of upskilling, it doesn't all have to be traditional classroom-based learning. There's different ways. you know, there's, as Vicky says, there's things like reverse mentoring. Mm-hmm. So I had a grad even in EY last week. I'd been asked to kind of be a mentor to her. And when she came onto the call, the first thing I asked her was what her current role was. And she explained she was helping organizations to roll out Microsoft Copilot. So I quickly shared my screen and got her to teach me how to build an agent.
You must put her in touch with.
Absolutely. But it is amazing. Like, there's capability out there in your organization. Yeah. It might be sitting in supply chain. It might be sitting elsewhere. And the other interesting thing that we see in finance functions is quite often finance, having historically been a back office function, has been underinvested in technology. But if you go and look at the customer facing part, you can be guaranteed they've got the best R&D, the best innovation, the best technology. So if you can get even the teams working within your own organization.
But does that bring it back to like CEOs looking at saying, where can we get the value?
Yeah.
And finance is just like, oh, my accounts, my numbers. But that, I think that's changing. I really
massively.
Do.
Massively. It is massively changing. But the reality is, finance is, it is a back office function. It's there to serve the organization and to drive it forward. But I think typically some finance organizations, they have been underinvested in because there hasn't always been the funds to spend. So there is a catch up going on in a number of places.
I think that's it. And I think, you know, in most organizations, effort and investment is often firstly placed at kind of how can we grow revenue, how can we get more customers,
sales.
How can we grow market sales, exactly. Yeah. And so not so much to say the finance is always critical, you know, control of the numbers, governance, but it's probably the last place that gets investment, whereas actually I think putting the investment in there and really helping making it, you know, sophisticated as possible with AI can enable really, really smart individuals help grow the other side of markets and sales.
And finance does typically sit across most of the data, and because they are typically traditional accountants and they're used to, you know, producing statements in a regulatory environment sometimes, they are typically process driven. So it's a good combination for bringing the enterprise data together and kind of seeing the patterns and drawing the right conclusions.
I just want to ask a question slightly off piece from what we've been discussing, but obviously in most companies have boards and CFOs get access to boards at board meetings or in general things. I just want to talk about that relationship, what boards should be expecting from CFOs and what CFOs should be expecting from boards.
Yeah.
Because too often we can look at it and say it's between the CEO and the CFO, but boards play an important function.
Yeah. And certainly, sorry, Kate, I might just jump in first. You know, I think CFOs and CEOs that we would be speaking to would say, and you can see from the survey, that boards are expecting, you know, they're asking, how is AI being used? And, you know, what are the results that we're getting from it? And so I think, you know, in terms of what CFOs can expect, I would say front and centre, they can expect questions around how is AI being used in the finance function and more broadly. What is the return for that, be that cost saving or value creation? And I think kind of really critically, and something we perhaps even haven't kind of touched on yet, is the governance around AI use.
Yeah.
And that comes back to the data and data governance, which is critical.
Yeah, I mean, I think boards need to demand and support the CFO and CEO to bring all the different functions together, because you do sometimes see in an organization that not all parts of the C-suite are necessarily pulling together in the same direction. So I do think the board has a duty to kind of, you know, set the strategic direction and make sure that it's being delivered upon. And I think it's the board's role to call out where they maybe aren't seeing quite what's expected, but they also need to support, I think, the CFO to make sure that the investment is there, because the finance function is there to play that role.
I think that's a great point, though, Katie, the support piece, because certainly something that I have seen and heard is everyone feels they need to move really fast. And so there's almost a we have to act now, we have to do something. And that could be spending a lot of money in places that it's not necessarily going to add value or help cut cost. And so I think there has to be an awareness and a kind of a common understanding of where we will use this. And yes, experimentation and you know, everybody getting familiar with tools and kind of encouragement, but actually kind of real investment only going after careful consideration to the real ROI cases.
Okay, right. Final question. And there's lots more we could discuss, but I am conscious of time. I'm a CEO or a CFO. I'm listening to this podcast. And I'm saying I'm getting free advice from two senior people in EY, which would normally cost me a lot of money. If they're sitting down with me for a couple of minutes, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them in terms of how they can progress their business between AI, between using the tools, between getting the most out of the finance function?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
You launch in there, Katie.
Yeah. So I would say, you need to be clear where there's an opportunity. Like, so what are the pain points that you're trying to deal with in your organization? And I would say, don't be afraid of the technology. And I would also say, get your best people from across the business together into a room. So don't have finance thinking about what finance is doing, supply chain over here, customer services over here. Bring the best brains in the organization together, workshop it, be very clear. Like, I'm kind of generalizing, but you need to be really clear where the value is. Bring the best brains. Do not be afraid of the technology. Do small pilots. You'll get the value. You'll quickly see that it's either working for you or not.
Test it out. Test it out.
And if you're not, you're behind. Yeah. And you're just going to be uncompetitive.
From my point of view, I think it's a huge opportunity just to actually reimagine. So, you know, when we look at companies, if you take some very old organizations that are hugely successful, but have been around for decades, they're very old school in the way they do things. Then you have companies that we would have said are kind of born of the tech age. And so they're very lean, they're very slim. And I think now you can have companies that are born of the AI age. And so their finance functions will just look night and day to the way things used to be. And so trying, and it's very difficult, but trying to have a ability to step back from what you know. And how could this be done differently, like a sort of a day zero, and then trying to kind of bridge between. I think that's quite an exciting place.
Because I think the one point we didn't get to in this podcast is lots of CEOs and boards are making decisions based upon future investment, based around the data that they have and the financials that they have.
Yeah.
And the more data they have and the more financials that they have allows them to make those decisions.
Yeah. Agree. I think we could do a whole other podcast on that, Ian.
Well, we might do. Well, look, Katie Burns, who's an EY Ireland consulting partner, and Vicky Wall, EY Ireland Financial Accounting Advisory Services Leader. Really, thank you for joining me here today.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to the Currency.News. This podcast was powered by EY. It pays to be curious.